Hello and welcome to another edition of the Vitality Explorer podcast. My name is Dr. Alan Mishra, and thank you for listening. If you're enjoying what you're listening, please leave us a five-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our goal, our mission, as always, is to enhance your vitality. Let's start it off with a quote from Helen Keller. Quote, "Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement." Now, sort of the corollary of that quote is nothing can be done without hope and confidence. Let's take that one to heart as we go through three things like we typically do on the Vitality Explorer podcast. Please join us on Vitality Explorers on Substack to review over 500 scientific posts and podcasts about how to enhance your vitality. Our focus is on enhancing your vitality skills and helping us all understand that vitality is a gift only we can give ourselves by taking ownership over our decisions. This week, there's some special stuff. There's a discussion of the View from the Top lecture that I saw from NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, and it was amazing, and we'll go over that in a few minutes here. Also, we're going to talk about how smartphone zombies get less Z's. And then finally, I'll review the Ignite Your Vitality webinar that I did last week for AARP. So we are jam-packed this week on the Vitality Explorer podcast. Let's jump right into NVIDIA. Now, NVIDIA is the hottest company right now on the planet. NVIDIA makes a variety of different things that have been fueling the AI revolution. As of the minute I'm talking to you right now, it has a $2.3 trillion market cap. That's with a T. So that's a huge market cap. And last week at Stanford, the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, H-A-U-N-G, talked from what's called the View from the Top. Now, this is a lecture series done at the Stanford Business School, and it's reserved for people who are typically at the absolute apex of what they're doing, and it's hard to argue that NVIDIA isn't at the absolute apex of what they're doing right now. Now, just as a brief aside, they make powerful graphical processing units, also known as GPUs, and they are fueling the artificial intelligence revolution. All right. Last week, the CEO talked about, you know, four lessons. Well, I should say I sort of distilled what he talked about into four lessons. And here's what we're going to talk about. Number one, be a great dishwasher. Number two, make a unique contribution. Number three, pursue a core belief for a long time. And number four, surround yourself with people you love. So Jensen is awesome. He has been at the helm of NVIDIA, I think for close to 30 years. And he's actually quite cool. He also wears a very fancy black leather jacket. And when he was talking last week, he started off by talking about being a great dishwasher. And that was his first job at Denny's when he was just 16 years old. But he took pride in being an amazing dishwasher, all right? And what happened is he was promoted to busboy, and then he decided he was going to be the best busboy he could possibly be. And he was also then promoted to waiter. So we went from dishwasher to busboy to waiter. And along the way, he talked about having to clean a lot of toilets at Denny's. And he said, quote, "Some of these messes he can't unsee." I'm sure that's an interesting side note. But what he talked about is the jobs reminded him now that no task is beneath him. No task is beneath him. Remember, he's the CEO of a $2.3 trillion company now, right? He also recommended working in the restaurant business because it quote, teaches you humility, teaches you hard work, and it teaches you hospitality. You can see some of the pictures that I took at the lecture that he gave at Stanford last week on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. But Jensen, along with his buddies Chris and Curtis, famously met at a Silicon Valley Denny's restaurant where he worked way back in 1993 to discuss how to develop a new type of computer chip. Now, they had worked at other Silicon Valley companies before, but the idea was to focus on a new chip that could render realistic 3D graphics. And there's actually a plaque on the wall where the three of them met. And I guess you could say they essentially founded NVIDIA in this little booth. And I think it's safe to say that that breakfast meeting at Denny's was a grand slam. So the first lesson that I learned from him is to be, you know, a great dishwasher, to take every task, no matter how menial, and try to be the best that you possibly can be at that. The second one is related to that meeting he had at that Denny's, and that is to make a unique contribution. Wang wanted to solve problems that were beyond the capacity of existing computers at that time, and he and his brilliant colleagues then went back to what they call first principles. Like, you know, graphical chips at that time were incredibly expensive, but could they make a better, faster, unique chip that was less expensive? So this was sort of trying to invent a completely new category of computer processing equipment. They follow that idea of unique principles. And I think Elon Musk has been famous for talking about how, you know, what was in a electric battery and what are the components of it. And it was breaking it down to the electrical components of, or the components of an electric battery, that he was able to create something that was less expensive. So these guys, in a different way, were looking at processing of graphics on a computer, and they wanted to do something new. Now, what they didn't know at the time, remember, this is way back in 1993 that they were in that little Denny's booth, that the chip that they created, or the version that has evolved, now is the amazingly powerful tool that fuels things like ChatGPT. So they were basically looking way, way, way into the future. So this is related to the third lesson I learned from listening to the CEO, Jensen Huang, of NVIDIA last week at Stanford. And that is, pursue a core belief for a long time. So NVIDIA's core belief that they try to adhere to is that they should pursue, as a company, worthy problems that actually won't get solved without the company. He talked specifically and explicitly about the idea that if some other company can do it better, or they're already doing it, that they shouldn't be involved in that. And he also talked about traveling forward in time in his mind to identify what he wants his company to do, and knowing what he wants the company to have done or to do in the future helps him identify actions that are required to get there. So then he checks that plan, that idea, with his core belief for the company to make sure he's on the right path every day. And staying true to that core belief, again, that, you know, they should be doing something unique that other people cannot do, is a fascinatingly important component to it. So that's so important, especially in the context of guiding a company through the choppy waters of a volatile stock price. And I want to slow down, because this is what he said. And this week that he gave this talk at Stanford is when NVIDIA crossed over the $2 trillion market cap, okay? And since that time, it's gone up. But he's also been the leader of this company when the stock dropped by 80%. And what he said is that his pulse was the same during the week when the company went up to the $2 trillion market cap and when it dropped by 80%. So that's actually an amazing definition of a steady, confident leader. And that leads us to the final thing that he talked about, lesson number four, and that is to surround yourself with people you love. I think this is an amazing suggestion for all of us, both at work and at home, because we never know when our last best day will be. So we should try to spend as much of our precious time with the people we love, both at work and at home. So here's the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendations. NVIDIA is the absolute darling of Wall Street and Main Street right now. People are having like FOMO about not owning NVIDIA stock. It's almost like 1999 again with the internet stocks. But some competitors claim that NVIDIA, Huang and his team got really lucky in developing a tool that just fits into the exploding artificial intelligence movement perfectly. But other observers of the computer industry credit him and his entire team. Amazingly, he has 50 reports, direct reports, by the way, but they credit NVIDIA and the team that's developed it with the ability to have vision and to execute. So I think we can all learn from this story. We can learn to wash our dishes well. We can seek to make a unique contribution based on our talent and our effort. We can try to follow our core beliefs for a long period of time. And most importantly, we can surround ourselves with the people who we love and that love us during that journey. So I'd love for people to post their comments about it. I know NVIDIA is the hottest thing on the planet right now. You know, you can also learn more about that and see some of the pictures if you look at it on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. Second thing I want to talk about on this week's Vitality Explorer podcast. Again, my name is Dr. Alan Mishra, founder of Vitality Explorers, and you can see the references on the Vitality Explorer Substack site, is how smart phone zombies get less Z's. And sort of the subtitle is to take the phone diet challenge. And I absolutely understand this because I'm one of them, okay? I'm one of the people out there that may or may not be addicted to my phone, all right? And here's some thoughts about that. Is I think being addicted to our phone is a massive time and life leak. Let me say that one more time. Being addicted to our phones is a massive time and life leak. And here's a quote from a paper, because remember, on Vitality Explorers, we always try to use peer-reviewed published data when we can to back up what we're talking about. But here's a quote. Quote, smartphone addiction is associated with decreased physical activity, increased BMI, and poor sleep quality in young adults. Again, that's not my opinion. That's from a newly published paper that looked at a cohort of 138 medical students. And here's the name of the paper. Quote, extent of smartphone addiction and its association with physical activity, anthropomorphic indices, and quality of sleep in young adults, a cross-sectional study. So the paper used a validated tool to assess smartphone addiction. So you may or may not know that there's such a validated tool, right? I didn't know this. But the tool uses questions like the ones below to look at somebody's overall sense of addiction. And here's some of the questions that you have to rate yourself on. And it's called the Smartphone Addiction Scale, also known as SAS. But here's five of them. There's lots of different questions that are embedded in it, but I picked five. Number one, I will never give up my smartphone. And you can kind of rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 5 or 0 to 10 on that. Number two, I'm constantly checking my smartphone. Number three, people around me tell me I'm using my smartphone too much. Number four, I feel wrist or neck pain. And number five, I missed planned work due to smartphone use. All right, so those are just five out of multiple questions that are in the smartphone addiction scale. But what the researchers did is smash up the individual scores of the research participants and then looked at things like sleep quality, body mass index, and activity level. And there's actually something called the Pittsburgh Sleep Quality Index, obviously body mass index, also known as BMI. And then they looked at their activity levels in something called MET scores, which is a metabolic equivalent of task. This is, I think, a little too complicated, but it's basically how much exercise or how much activity are you getting? And the data confirmed that higher levels of smartphone addiction were connected to poor sleep, higher BMI, and lower physical activity. Think about that for a second. So I think this paper provides us empiric quality evidence to suggest that spending too much time on your phone can crush your vitality. Because if you don't sleep well, if you have a higher BMI and lower physical activity, all of those are connected with lower levels of vitality. And if being on your phone interferes with your sleep and somehow is connected to increased weight and less exercise, we need to do something about it. And here's what the paper concluded, quote, preventative measures to curtail smartphone addiction at an early stage need to be initiated to protect the younger generation from the ill health hazards of excessive smartphone usage. And here's the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendation. I think it's time we plug that life leak of being addicted to our phones. So on your phone, I suggest you want to try this. Maybe you're listening on your phone right now. I'm not sure this counts against you, but if you can go to the settings and then you go to something called screen time, and then you look at the total amount of screen time that you are using per day or per week, and that can be sort of the baseline of how much you're utilizing it. But here's my suggestion is that we band together and join all of us on what I call the phone diet challenge. And that is just to try to reduce your time you spend on the phone by 17 minutes per day. That's about 1,000 seconds. And I'm trying to do this myself. So how can you do that? You can batch the time frames that you look at your emails or texts. You can put your phone in a timeout for 17 minutes. It's not likely to destroy your life if you don't touch your cell phone for 17 minutes. And then you can use that 1,000 seconds, that 17 minutes to take a walk, read, connect with a friend, and or maybe most importantly, use that extra 17 minutes just to sleep some more. But think about what you could do with those extra saved minutes if you did it every single day for just a week. That's the first thing I'd like everybody to try, myself included. But what if you did it for a week, a month, or a year? Could you learn a new skill? Could you write a book? Could you serve your community in a meaningful way? I think we need to work together to plug this life leak of being addicted to our phones. So if you have a close friend, probably better than a family member. Sometimes family members don't appreciate it. But if you have a really close friend, bond with that friend and say, listen, take the phone diet challenge. Don't be a smartphone zombie. Put it away for 17 minutes per day and do something else with your time. And you can look at the reference, which is published here in 2024 by Kumar et al., extent of smartphone addiction and its association with physical activity and other things. But this was a pretty good study of 138, what they call undergraduates in a tertiary medical center. This was out of India, but I think it applies to all of us. All right, we're going to finish this week's Vitality Explorer podcast by talking about the Ignite Vitality webinar that I did last week for AARP. And this is part of the core work that I've been doing for years. And the five primary lessons that I discussed during that Vitality webinar, and you can see the entire thing online. You can go to vitalityexplorers.substack. The YouTube video is embedded into the post on Vitality Explorers, but here they are. And we've talked about them before, but these things really do require reiterating and emphasizing and going back to, because these are core principles of vitality. And that first one is to bet on yourself. Be the hero of your own life's journey, whatever that brings to you. Curveballs that hit you in the back of the head, challenging situations, whatever it is, try to be the hero of your own journey for as long as you are here on the planet, okay? Now, when you do that, when you bet on yourself, the nanosecond you bet on yourself, and people who are longtime listeners or followers of Vitality Explorers have heard me say this before, but when you bet on yourself, the nanosecond you do that, your vitality soars. So if you want to, you can just pause right now, look in the mirror somewhere and say, I'm gonna bet on myself. I'm gonna bet on myself to be the hero of my life's journey. And by the way, those hero journeys are not always easy. They can sometimes be terrifyingly difficult, but try to be the hero of your own journey. And when that happens, you start to smash through obstacles better. You start to deal with barriers by going through them, around them, or smashing through them. So number one is always to bet on yourself. Number two is to optimize your time. We talked about that a little bit in the context of not being a smartphone zombie, but your time is your most precious non-renewable resource. And that's connected to the next one. That's the third suggestion, or the three, five primary ways you can ignite your vitality. And that is to stockpile health, exercise relentlessly, work on your sort of strength, flexibility, and endurance whenever you can. You know, that could be just doing some resistive band exercises, that could be taking a walk, just exercise relentlessly and stockpile health. Number four is to cultivate closeness. That is to connect, literally just try to connect with other people. Many times we've talked about this thing called the 99 second challenge. You can do that over and over and over again. Text three people today. Just tell them, you know, hello and how you doing. Tell them you're thinking about them. Don't ask for anything in return. Or play a long game on cultivating closeness. Forgive somebody in your life. Forgive yourself. Try to restore a relationship, because your relationships matter more than almost anything else in terms of your vitality. And the final is to pinpoint your peak purpose, okay? And that pinpointing your peak purpose is something that can go on, you know, for your entire life. Your purpose is your most important modifiable vitality asset. Remember, time is your most important non-renewable asset, but your purpose can change over time. You can have a purpose when you're young to finish school. You can have a purpose in your professional life or your personal life, but just spend some time. Maybe that 17 minutes that you don't spend on your phone this week, you can spend thinking about and trying to nail down an 8-word or less purpose statement. It took me 2 or 3 years to get to the point of saying, here's my purpose. And it is to optimize vitality one person at a time. So if even one person listening to this podcast today has their vitality enhanced, I will have done my job. By the way, it's awesome if you will share this with as many people as you can. Always leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. But the goal with the Ignite Vitality webinar, again, that you can see the entire thing on the Vitality Explorer Substack site, is to remember the five primary ways you can enhance your vitality. Number one, bet on yourself and be the hero of your own life's journey. Number two, optimize your time. Number three, stockpile health. Number four, cultivate closeness. And number five is to pinpoint your peak purpose. So this week we've talked about the view from the top from NVIDIA CEO. We've talked about how smartphone zombies get less Z's. We've talked about how to ignite your vitality. But remember that quote that we started with from Helen Keller, quote, "Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement, and nothing can be done without hope and confidence." So I hope this week's Vitality Explorer podcast has somehow ignited your vitality, enhanced your sense of physical, mental, social, or spiritual well-being. Again, that is our purpose with the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it this week. And until next time, get out there and dare to be vital. Thank you very much for listening.